I was just talking with Brother Tim between the meetings, and I told him a little testimony, and he asked me to share it. Because this morning he made the comment that you can be as close to your dad as you endeavor to be. And I was just relating to him how true that I've found that to be myself. I've gone through forgiveness in layers. All along I would have told you I had fully forgiven him. Go back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I would have said, yeah. You've asked me, is there anything between you and your dad? I'd say, no, forgiven him. 5 years ago, I would have said the same thing. 4 years ago, I would have said the same thing. And today, I'll say the same thing. And, you know, that's why I was looking forward to this conference. Because forgiveness for me has happened in multiple layers. And I'm like, and I've just been praying, God, reveal to me a new layer. If there's a new layer that I can peel off and go deeper with this, I want to. Because even though 5, 6 years ago I would have told you I've totally forgiven everything that had happened, looking back, I can see that it wasn't fully true. Two things that Brother Tim has driven home in the past few meetings hit exactly to what I struggled with. And one of them is I was waiting for him to apologize. I felt like my dad had done me wrong, that he needed to apologize for. And I'll just be honest, I'll be the first to tell you that my family wasn't perfect. If I wanted to focus in just on the lowest spots in family life from the time that I was growing up, I could portray to you today a family that you wouldn't even think of as Christian if I endeavored to do that, with only telling facts. And I think there's a lot of Christian families that are that way. And Christian young people take these problems and they look at those things. They look at the lowest spots in their parents' life. At the same time, I'll also be the first to tell you, there are certain things about my dad that I have never met or heard of a father that handled certain areas of raising us kids better than my dad did. Things that I am going to purposely emulate. I'm going to be like my dad as best as I can. And I say this because there's a lot of Christian young people, young boys, who are struggling with a relationship with their dad. Sometimes it is real issues, and sometimes it's made up issues. But either one is irrelevant. It doesn't matter today if the things you're holding against your dad are true. That's not what we're here to figure out. We're not here, as Brother Tim, and this goes exactly the other thing, we're not here to judge motives. We aren't here to find out if your dad actually did wrong. And Brother Tim was talking about sitting in his green chair for hours, trying to figure out what would cause this man to let him down in the way that he had been. That brought back memories, so many memories. Sitting in my little chair, running through my mind, why would my dad do this? Why did he do this? Trying to figure out the motives. Trying to figure out, why did this have to happen? What made him do this? And I had to come to the same thing and realize that's not what matters. It's not the issue. I took and I would endeavor. I brought the subject up to him. You'd bring up specifics. And something that I realized was that he didn't remember a lot of the specifics. I was waiting for him to apologize to me for something that he didn't remember. Our human minds don't remember everything. And not only that, if God has forgiven a person, if a man who has truly done wrong and he has dealt with it before God, put it behind him, and God has put it behind him. Is it wrong for a Christian to forget about some of his past? No. In fact, it's actually probably healthy. And then for me, as the son, to try to dig back into those things that God had already put behind. That God had put that behind his back. And I'm trying to dig it up and bring it back to work through it. And I just realized over and over again, this isn't right. Forgiveness had to go to a new level. I had to forgive him for everything. And I found, to get back to the first statement that I said that really hit home, that Brother Tim shared, is you can be as close to your dad as you endeavor to be. And I found, I don't know exactly what all was running through my mind, but I had some sort of ideas and philosophies in my own heart and mind before God where I felt like I had forgiven him, and to an extent I had. I wasn't holding it against him. But yet, I felt like I had a right to be somewhat cold. And this was the level in which I realized I had to take forgiveness a new level. Is that I did not have that right. That it was my responsibility. Whenever there's a relationship conflict, each person wants to put the responsibility on the other person. And this is over and over again what Brother Tim is stressing, and I'm just going to say the same thing. You can't. You have to place the responsibility, the entire responsibility, let me say, on your own shoulders. Because if you look at the relationship and you end up saying, you try to be logical and you try to say, well, it's probably 50-50, 50 mine, 50 theirs. If you tell yourself that, the way you will live practically is if it is 100% the other person. You have to come to where you are willing to take entire responsibility to heal the relationship. And you can be just as close to your father as you endeavor to be. Who, whatever. We're not talking about whether it's true, whether it was false. We're not talking about who your dad is. We're talking about who you are. Take forgiveness to a new level.
Well, Ezra came and shared that with me. He didn't know I was struggling about which message to go tonight. I've been thinking all day, trying to be prayerful, because I said, God definitely tailor makes every series, I believe, for each of us. This tonight will be, I would call it, the toughest message in the series. And I will have you turn to Psalm 139. And I'm going to work off of two different outlines, same outline, but one has my hand touch to it, and the other one has my computer touch to it. And I like my hand touch better than my computer touch. This one is tough. This one is tough. Because God, if you'll be serious, God will show you something almost like lightning. How many of you like to get answers to prayers? How many of you had some lately that you can just say, I know God did this and God did that? And you've seen those answers. Aren't they exciting? Well, this prayer that we're going to talk about tonight, I promise you, God, if you give him the opportunity, he will meet with you in a very special way. Psalm 139, look with me please at verse number 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Father, we ask now that You would cover us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, hedge us about. We plead the blood. We ask God that You would give our minds the ability to hear, not from a man, but from Thy Spirit through Thy Word. Open our eyes, every one of us, so we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Teach us Thy way. Lead us in a plain path, please. And God, we pray that tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified through this time, that the work of the Holy Ghost that's been given to each believer in this room would be magnified, and Father, be given great liberty, that the office of the Holy Ghost, His job in our life as believers, would bring forth manifold fruit. God, give me clarity of mind, give me passion of words, give me passion of spirit. Not my spirit, but Your spirit, please. And Father, give me the abilities that's humanly impossible. But help us to go to places that will strengthen and edify and build and encourage each and every one here tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord. Amen. In Psalm 139, verse 1, he says, Thou hast searched me and known me. You heard Brother Ezra talk about being levels of forgiveness. This is so true. Thou hast searched me and known me. Have you invited God to look into your life ever? Have you ever said, Lord, search me, try me? Have you ever said that? God takes that and He listens to that, and He'll bring it through in many different ways, shapes, forms. Sometimes it's through incidents, and sometimes it's through relationships. Sometimes it's through mechanical breakdowns. And sometimes it's through loss of finances or reputation. So many different ways that God deals with us when it comes to this. Thou hast searched me and known me. One old farmer said to me from Oklahoma one time, he said, what's in your bucket? I said, what? What's in your bucket? He says, you know how we can find out what's in your bucket? He says, let somebody kick it over. We'll know what's in your bucket. Do you understand that statement? What's in your heart? When it gets bumped over and you get pressured and pushed, we'll know what's in there. If it's cursing and swearing, it's going to come out. If it's criticizing, accusing, and blaming, it's going to come out. What's in your bucket? It comes out when you're stressed, when you're pushed. And it comes out in many different forms. Well, he says, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. He says, Lord, You know everything about me. And he says, You've known this in the past. And he recognizes this. And he looks at it as wonderful. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou hast known it altogether. Now go down to verse 23. Strange. Why didn't he say this in verse 23, O Lord, Thou hast searched me? In verse 23, he changes it around. He says, search me, O God. Search me. And know my heart and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. First time he says it, he said, you've known it in the past. A week from now, today's the 22nd, right? There's no such thing as the 29th of February this year, right? So next Saturday is March the 1st, right? 100 years ago, next Saturday, Billy Sunday came to Scranton, Pennsylvania. 100 years ago, he came and he preached 50 days, 89 messages. I think I said this the other night. And in that time, he saw 16,999 people walk the sawdust trail in Scranton. Whether you like Billy or not, one thing you got to say, the guy gave his heart to trying to reach people for Christ. And another thing you have to say about Billy Sunday, it's quite interesting, is he had some common sense. Just plain common sense. And one of the things Billy talked about was revivals. He sure doesn't sound like a Presbyterian, but because he talked more like a free willer, you know. Because he said it like this. He said, yeah, you said we don't need revival. So we already had a revival. He said, that's like, you said, revival to me is like a bath. He said, you need to take one often. That's how Sunday talked. And I look in this verse here in these passages, and God says, giving us an outline, he says, the psalmist said, thou hast searched me. And now he says, search me again. He said, fresh. Do it again. Search me. It's time for a new bath. It's time to be checked out again. Some of you go to a doctor. We forgive you. You go to a doctor maybe once a year. Any doctors in here, by the way? I don't get in trouble. Usually I say stuff like this, I get in real trouble. Okay? The only thing we have is the health food clinic over here at the Golden Harvest, right? But some, have you go to a doctor? Your jobs, your occupation requires you to go to a CDL guys, people like that. You have to go to once a year, right? Right? So you go to the doctor for a checkup. Psalmist is saying, Lord, search me. I want you to search me. I want you to check me out. And here's what interesting. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. This area, I'm sure you have them too. You have these little signs that says, call before digging. Anybody have that? See those signs? Anybody ever not called before digging? Did you wish you ever called? Did you wish you had called? A lot of people regret digging without calling. And in that point, the power company says to you, you need permission to dig there. We need to let you know this is not an area that you can just go dig around anywhere. And you know what God is? God is such a free willer when it comes to your life that God will not, now hold on here, without your permission, dig into your life. Look at the example of the psalmist here. He says, thou hast searched me, and he says, search me, O Lord. He says, God, I'm giving you permission to dig into my life. Everybody in this room has places in their heart you don't want anybody to touch. And sometimes you suppress it and repress it. You don't want to deal with it whatsoever. You don't want to talk about it. You've got it so pushed far down in there, you don't want to ever smell that stink and corruption again, right? Do you have places like that? Or you have places that you're ashamed of and you push them way down and you keep repressing them and repressing them and suppressing them and suppressing them, right? Oh, no. Brother Tim, are you going to tell me we need to come forward to... No. This is not what we're talking about. I'm talking about you before a holy God need to say, God, search me. I give you permission to dig into my heart. Into those places I let no one go. My wife doesn't go there. My children don't go there. My mom don't go there. My dad don't go there. It's my own little place. It's a place where I've got secrets, maybe galore. But I'm going to let you go into the very center of the imagery of my heart, God. The gas companies call before you dig. Ever notice that famous picture? Whether we agree with it or not, it's still a famous picture. It shows Jesus knocking at the door. Remember? Not the new versions, but the old versions that show Jesus knocking at the door. Have you ever noticed something? There's a little window there. You notice that? But there's no doorknob on the outside. The doorknob's on the inside. Because it's the artist understood, you have to open the door to let him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Lord is very careful. Luke chapter 13, verse 34, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That might, your choice, that might, you must choose. First life, second is life more abundantly. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. What is he saying? He's saying, you have a choice. Gives you a command, but it's your choice. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members, a choice you must make. It's your yielding. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey. Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, your choice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Personal responsibility. The Revelation chapter 22. I love this one. D.L. Moody was so smart. D.L. Moody said, God knew that you were going to be arguing in Ephesians over election. He knew you'd be arguing in Peter over election. He knew you'd be arguing in Romans over election. He says, so God says, I'm going to give you the final word on it. Revelation. So I'll settle all your arguments. Here's the final word on it, so you won't get confused with it all. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. And whosoever will. Let him take of the water of life freely. So we see the free will is your part. And we come to this thing about giving God permission to dig. First time I ever heard anything like this. I was working with the Russian people. And Brother Yuri was talking, my daughter's father-in-law, and the guy that was, I told you on the George events. He said, have you given God permission to work in your life? Have you given God permission? He said, God, he's God. He can take it. No. Have you given God permission? Have you ever said, God, I invite you into my life to work in whatever area you want to. And tonight we're dealing with forgiveness, so you can add it to whatever you want to add it to. We're talking about forgiveness tonight. Brother Ezra already said, I want to go to a different level during these meetings. I want to go to another peeling back. That's exactly what God is looking for. Will you give God digging rights in your life? Will you say, God, I'll open up to the most tender spots of my life. You can touch it, God. Search me. In the Psalmist 139, we see permission is granted. The request is made. Search me. Opportunity is open. Search me. The door is unlocked. It's unlatched. And he's opened up for search. And we see the Psalmist says, search me. This message is not a general message, he says. This is a very particular message. He's saying, God, search me. And this message tonight is about forgiveness. Will you ask God to show you in your heart, in your life, any area where you need to forgive anybody? Sister Doris said the last time she heard me preach this message, one of the ladies in our church, you know I'm talking about, Brother Aaron, Sister Doris Walton said to me, she said, I was sitting in the pew and she says, I don't have any problems with anybody. He said, as soon as you said that, I said, well, Lord, I don't. And I said, would you bow your heads right now and just pray? Say, God, show me anybody. And she said she couldn't believe it. This guy pops in her mind. She said, I forgot about that guy. She said, I harbored a bitterness against him. I totally forgot about him. Oh, by the way, when I'm talking about asking God to search you, I'm not talking about looking for to go out there and you take a fine-tooth comb yourself and try to find somebody to make up in your mind, okay? Maybe I looked at that person the wrong way. I'm not talking about that. Maybe possibly somehow or other I didn't know. Not that. Okay, that's the devil. Devil's the author of confusion. I'm talking about something real, something definite. You will know it, and God's Spirit will bring it to you. It's not gonna clamor, and you're not gonna be hit with a bunch of things at one time. If you are, that's of the devil, I can tell you that. When the Holy Spirit deals with you, He'll bring somebody specific, you'll know exactly who it is, you'll know exactly the situation, and that's the mark of God's Spirit. And by the way, He's not gonna leave you in a bunch of guilt and confounded thinking. That's not God, that's the devil. So don't get confused. And if you have a weak caliber tonight, if you have a weak faith tonight, I can tell you, you will have trouble with trying to make up some things or the devil will throw some things at you. Please don't do that. Let God bring a precise and particular message. You're saying, search me, it will be particular. You don't have to go looking for it, okay? It's very clear. I want you to ask God in this area of bitterness, suspicion, grudges, unforgiving attitudes, resentment, shunning. When I gave this lecture in South Africa, I was amazed at how many had things to get right with their parents. So many had things they harbored against their parents through the years. Not just that they had to go to their parents, but in their heart of hearts had to right there on the spot say, God, I've held this against my parents, I've put my parents in the prison, but really, you were in the prison. You know what he was really saying in this passage? This is the prayer. I'm going to encourage you to pray tonight. Ooh, it hurts, but it makes you happy. You ever got rid of an abscess tooth? It hurts while it's there. It hurts while it's being pulled. But boy, when it's gone, wow. Okay, you got a spot missing. But buddy, it still feels a lot better than what it used to. I was driving one day and I heard this preacher preaching the psalm on this psalm as a young man. And I said, wow, that's good thinking. I like that thought. I'm going to try it. I tried it. I got my prayers answered within 24 hours. I've never, ever got involved with this without God. Matter of fact, the first several times I preached this message, a little different, but I preached this message, each time God dealt with me quickly. So much so that I used to get afraid of speaking it. Even as I stood tonight, I'm thinking, oh no. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? It's the devil that gives us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? So why should we be afraid? Said the same words to one of the young leaders there, Vernon, you know Vernon, you know what I'm talking about? Vernon came to me, he said, I'm afraid to pray that prayer. I said, pray it, don't worry, he's not out to hurt you. He came the next day and he said, Brother Tim, it's the worst day of my life. I wish I never prayed that prayer. I said, well, no, wait a moment, it's a good day, things are happening. So you're scaring me, Brother Tim. No, don't be afraid. Search me. What is that prayer? It's God, show me the truth about myself. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God showed me the truth about myself. God showed me the truth about myself. That's the prayer. This preacher said, this passage, just give you a little handle on it. He says, it's about me. The old Negro spiritual put it, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God enjoys this, answering this prayer. It's like God's up in heaven doing this. Oh, I just hope Brother Dan prays this prayer. Oh, this will be so good if he'll pray this prayer. It'll be so good if Shana prays this prayer. So good if Timothy prays this prayer. I don't know the other girls. Amy? Angela. Angela. It'd be so good if Angela prays this prayer. It'd be so good if Luke prays this prayer. Young people pray this prayer. Yeah, young people should pray this prayer. Say, God's just waiting to answer this one, Dan. Art? This is not for anybody named Arthur or Art, so don't worry, okay? This is for everybody but Arts, right? This is for everybody. Just pray this prayer. Very important. Now, show me the truth about myself. God enjoys answering this prayer. He answers this one so fast, it is amazing. He answers it two different ways, though, I found. Noah, he answers it through humility or humiliation. I'm preaching this in Connecticut one time, and I'm telling this to people, and I'm all excited. I'm jumping around, hollering, preaching. Young guy, you know, a lot of energy and all this. So I'm telling them, this is the way it ought to be over on the Navy base in Groton, Connecticut. A little church is starting, five families starting a church in one of the Navy houses. I was so excited. My sister's in the group. I was so excited. And afterwards, I thought I'd have fun. You young, y'all like to do fun around here, I noticed. They're business math. You better watch out, brother. Don't let them use that in your store. Noah and Ezra. This 13 stuff, 7 times 13, you've heard about that? You give them a lesson on it later. No, but you be careful. Don't put them to work for you. They've got some strange ideas of business math. Those two brothers, you keep your eye on them. Well, anyhow, Can I tell you, I got up there and they like to do fun things with the young people, obviously, right? Y'all do fun things. Well, I thought I'd do something fun. Forgive me. But I've seen this happen one time, and that is, if you eat a banana, and all of y'all are health food oriented, right? Oriented. I don't mean that you do it all the time, but you're oriented. You have to be. Come to this church, come on. And it doesn't matter, though, if it's organic or non-organic bananas. It doesn't matter. This one works either way. You take a banana and you eat it as fast as you can. Now, for those of you who aren't health food oriented, this next part you will like. Then you take a Pepsi. Not a Coca-Cola. Has to be a Pepsi. You take a Pepsi and you drink it as fast as you can. Please forgive me. Oh, I forgot this is on tape. And there is a chemical reaction between a banana and Pepsi that is amazing. It develops an explosion. And these young people, they like to see who can be the greatest explosion. And you just let your mind run with it. I never tried the organic bananas, though. That might be interesting. Is there such thing as organic Pepsi? I don't think so. But there's this explosion. And one of the young men said, after I preached this message, one of the young men said to me, I'm not going to do that. I said, you sissy. You know, that's terrible, but I said that. It happened to be my nephew. I said, you're a sissy. And you know what? You know how sisters are, don't you? They don't care that you're a pastor. They don't care that you run a church. If you say something that steps on their toes, they're just going to tell you what they think. Now, you Kanjerski girls, you don't do that to your brother, do you? Do you? Well, my sister turned on me, boy. She said, you have no right to call my son a sissy because he won't eat a banana and go explode. I said, everybody else is doing it. You don't have the right. And she jumped down my throat. And I came back to her. Well, guess what? I prayed that prayer. Show me the truth. Folks, that wasn't even 1 hour after the message. I'm eating crow. You know, I almost destroyed the whole series of meetings that week because of that one little moment. It took me a couple of days to swallow my pride, my humility. I was being humbled. It means humiliated in front of everybody. And the people were right. I shouldn't have said it like that. I mean, it was crazy. If he didn't want to do it, he didn't have to. It was terrible. I had to swallow my pride and come back and apologize. But you know, the week of meetings was almost over. And it seemed like that little crazy thing showed me something about myself. How about you? Are you ready for God to show you something? It could happen like that's humiliation. So one way is humbling. And I suggest this. Go like this to God. Say, Lord, I surrender. Show it to me. I'm willing. I'll let you. That's the best way. If you go like this, say, okay, God, show it to me. Pow! Head-on collision, and you're in trouble real quick. And he's going to show you some things about yourself. And you're going to go, ah! It's going to scare you sometimes. However, it'll still be for your good. It's not because he doesn't love you. If you're of a contentious nature, be ready for humiliation. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When you ask God to show you the truth about yourself in this area of bitterness, or in that unforgiving spirit, your resentment, depression, discouragement, critical spirit, ingratitude, being disillusioned in other believers or leaders or parents, I must warn you, there is going to be not only will you face this, the problem of humiliation or humility, how you approach it, but there's also two other warnings I must give you. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 2. Turn there if you would, please. Romans chapter 2. The very first thing that you want to do when things like that begin to happen, like it happened with me and my nephew, the very first thing that takes place, Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Two things takes place immediately. When all of a sudden you're faced with a situation, circumstance, a relationship, immediately you begin to either accuse or excuse. You accuse the other one. So if he wouldn't have been such a prideful little teenager, he would never eat that banana. If I wasn't such a proud adult, I wouldn't have forced that and would have left it alone. You begin to accuse or excuse. You begin to say, you know, I was just playing around anyhow. You begin to make excuses. So when you're faced with this truth, you may handle this truth well, or you may cause a roadblock in your life. Look, if you would please, at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14. Isaiah 59, verse 14, it says, in judgment. Isaiah 59, 14, in judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Roadblock. There's a roadblock. And see, with that roadblock where truth cannot enter, there you've got a roadblock, accusing, excusing, You're not accepting the truth because you said, God showed me the truth. Now you don't want to see the truth. You begin to accuse others. You begin to excuse yourself. And yet God is trying to say, I've got a message to get to you. And now it's roadblocked. But I want you to know that God is in the business of pulling down and pulling away roadblocks. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are these strongholds made of? It says in this passage, imaginations. It says high things in this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The famous passage in Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, which obviously is the direct workings of Satan. Which brings me to understand the passage in this light too, that you've got to watch out for the strong man of the high places. Remember what Jesus said? There's a man that said, if you're going to spoil the strong man's good, you must first bow the strong man, and then you can go spoil his goods. He's the ruler of the castle, the high place. He's the ruler of the strongholds. Power you've given to actually the powers of Satan. And when you're dealing with unforgiveness, we'll see this tomorrow sometime. Satan's delight, you'll see this strong man again. But what I'm trying to say to you, there is a power that's working in your life. You've given ground to the devil where God commands you not to do that. And here's this high place that's going on. This imagination is working in your life. These thoughts that's going on in your life. You're excusing yourself. You're accusing others. You've got it going. And listen, my friends, that rationalization, those reasonings, the paralysis of analysis are at work in your life, and you need to be careful. In Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Rationalization. Taking things and trying to bring them down or excuse yourself from what God is saying, especially in the area of forgiveness. So let's not get off track. I'm not asking you about other sins in your life tonight. I'm asking you about people, relationships that's in your life. Now we'll go back to Psalm 139. Going back to forgiveness. You're saying, God, search me, try me, show me. There's three things. I used to preach four things as I began to search this passage and look carefully at it. I began to realize, no, there's just three things here. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The first thing he says He says, God, I want you to search me. You heard me tell the story last night about my son James who had meningitis. I skipped one part on purpose. Because when the doctor told me my son may succumb in the next 6 hours, and that word succumb was a big word for a little country boy, I had to ask him, what does succumb mean? They said, die. I said, oh, that's serious. The first thing I did, I said, where's the chapel? Because I remember the story of a pastor that I had when I was in my early 20s. He told a story about his daughter having a tonsillectomy. How do you say that? Tonsillectomy or something like that? Taking the tonsils out? So while she was there in recovery, they heard, run quick, this girl is in trouble, she's bleeding to death. And he was scared to death. And he says, oh God, help my daughter. So he said, what can I do? And he prayed. He says, Lord, is there anything between you and me that would keep you from hearing my prayers? He said, immediately, a deacon flashed in his mind that he had gotten into a squabble with, and he got very vehement and destroyed their relationship. He said, when that happened, he said, immediately, God, please spare my child's life, and I promise you, as soon as I get up from here, I'll go make it right with that deacon right this moment. Just spare my daughter, please. I remembered that when my son was there. That's the first thought that came to my mind. I went to the chapel, I got on my knees, and the first thing I said, God, is there anything between you and me that would keep me from getting my prayers answered? And folks, just as immediate as it was with that pastor who told the story, three things popped in my mind, and not confusing, not confounding, three things I knew I was fighting. The first thing, I live in an area where there's a lot of medical professions. My wife, when she had the first child, the baby was breached, and that baby was taken because the doctor had another patient. She didn't have to take the baby breech. She had a C-section. I tell people I have 9 Americans and 1 Assyrian. And because of their Bible thinkers, they think Assyrian, you know. They get it confused for a while. I have fun with that a little bit. But that little baby being born, my wife and myself, we took odds with the medical world. And folks, whether you believe in all their medicine and stuff like that, you don't have to get upset with them. That's why you'll hear me when I preach about this stuff on bitterness and unforgiving. You can put yourself against an institution. And you can put yourself against governments. And you can put yourself against ideals in such a way that folks that you're bound by, and all you can do is talk about that and fight that all the time. And the medical profession would bother me so much, it was eating me up. And I said, they're just money grabbers, all that stuff. And they're going off of false philosophy. They're not even looking for the cure. They're just taking care of the symptoms. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, probably. But I was bitter. Had a bitter spirit. I said, God, I'm sorry. Isn't it interesting? Here's my son in the hospital, and we've got to use what I'm fighting. And it's interesting, his doctor was a preventive health food doctor, but that preventive health food doctor says, we've got to go this route, or your baby's going to die. Meningitis has taken his life. He'd already set over a week or so, going to the second week at our home, we thought he just had the flu. I said, God, please forgive me. There's a second institution that came to my mind. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something right up front. As far as I know, and if there's anybody here different, don't you get mad at me, okay? Please. I don't have a Calvinist bone in my body. Okay? I'm a Biblicist. I don't have an Arminian bone in my body either, okay? I'm a Biblicist. And I take that very strong. I'm very strong on free will. Other things that you may want to argue with me over, see Ezra, he's my spokesperson. Okay. And Noah will take care of the rest. Okay. And if you can't handle that, Aaron's my bouncer. He'll take care of you out in the dark. But there's a school in my area that's known for their hyper-Calvinism. I've been out soul winning. I was talking one day to a young man. I was telling him how to get saved. And the guy came up to me when I was done. He was the professor. He was the evangelism teacher of that college. And here's what he told me. He said, "Brother Tim, I was praying that he was one of the elect. Folks, you don't know what that did to the hair on my neck." That about drove me wild. I mean, I was thinking, heretic. He's in charge of evangelism in that college? Oh, did that eat me up. But God, as he brought to my mind, he says, "Tim, I can take care of those battles if you'll let me. That's my battle. I can clear somebody up. They get out there in the strange doctrines and so on. You need to get your mind back together and don't be all ate up with." I mean, I was eaten up with fighting that stuff. I'm on my knees trying to say, "God, what can I do for my son?" And there's a third area. And I don't know where you stand. I don't know where any of you stand on this one, except for a couple of you around here. And you've heard Keith speak on it, and I'm glad. But I was trained with the old King James text. And one of the Bible colleges in America, that time, had a professor was really thumping as hard as he possibly could. Not a Textus Receptus, but a Westcott Hort Alexandrian text, and it was going across the country like wildfire, and I got mad at that group too. Man, I don't get mad at people. I get mad at institutions, you know? It's terrible, Brother Tim. I mean, I can't be just one person. It's got to be everybody. The faculty, it's got to be all of them. I mean, I was really had it heaped up on me. But I was on my knees that night. I said, "God, I promise you, I may not agree with them, but I'm not going to live my life fighting with bitterness and rage and all that like in the past. Please forgive me." Now, you can see I'm not afraid to mention them. So that doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about the situation. But in my heart, I'm not going to harbor hatred. Because some of those brothers out there are good brothers. And some of them took a different direction. And some have accepted some things. And you know what? This guy right here, ask me, am I 100% for Tim Hargett? I'm going to tell you, no. I can't be. You know why? Because if I'm going to grow in grace, then I must be different next year than I am right now, right? If I'm going to grow in grace. God's got to be working on me all the time, changing me and moving me to different places. So how can I be 100% for Tim Hargett? I am not the system of all truth. That book holds the system of all truth. And the Holy Ghost of God, as He brings that thing and opens it up to each and every one of us in this room, He will always be consistent, right? And inconsistencies is never on God's part. They're on our part, right? So I'm there praying, say, "God, please, forgive me for having such a bad spirit towards these people. I need you to answer my prayer. My son, please help him." And folks, 6 hours came, and I walked up to those doctors, and those doctors said, "Mr. Hargett, we don't know. We did not know what type of antibiotic to use. We told you that last night, but we want you to know the antibiotics are working wonderfully. So we cannot believe how well he's responding." Oh, I knew. You know what I did, Brother Tim? I called that institution that had the wrong text, and I asked them to pray for me. That's humbling. I called the institution as a Calvinist. I mean, they had to take it as the sovereign will of God. I called them, and I said, "Would you please pray for my son?" I didn't call any doctors. I didn't know any Christian doctors close by. That's why I didn't call any. But I said, "Please pray. Please." When you ask God to show you the truth about you, say, "God, search me." He searched me and He showed me so quick, so fast. There may be some things in your life tonight that you don't realize is there. Say, "God, search me." And especially in the areas of unforgiveness and bitterness. Second thing He says, He says, not only "search me," but He says, "try me." Ooh. Ah. Ouch. Try me. What does that mean? That means test me. That means confront me. That means through circumstances, through people interruptions, through misunderstandings, through your own words, through your own response to others or events or attitudes, your handling of matters, your hard, harsh, or cruel, or negligent ideas or attitudes, or your treatment of others, mechanical breakdowns. And folks, don't be afraid, because most of you say, "God, I can't afford anything expensive." If it's going to be anything break down, let it be my pencil sharpener, please. If you have that type of fear, please don't fear. Because God loves you. Remember we're talking about He loves mercy? So throw yourself at His mercy. He's not going to hurt you. It's only if you resist Him He's going to resist you. God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. But He giveth grace unto who? Humble. And then the third thing He says, lead me into the way everlasting. He says, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. All part of working that first two parts out. And He says, lead me in the way everlasting. He says, God, I want You to direct me. I want You to correct me. I want You to instruct me. I give You those rights. Now, in the area of forgiveness and bitterness and resentment, failed dreams, unfulfilled expectations and hate, can I ask you a question tonight? Will you give God? Will you give God digging rights in your life? Now, I've not given a real invitation to now. I'm going to give you an invitation. It's a simple one. Don't be afraid of God. Be afraid of the enemy. You know the roaring lion? You know why he's a roaring lion? He's a roaring lion not because he's trying to hurt you himself. He's trying to scare you. That's the roaring lion. The roaring lion of the pride is going to drive you to where the real danger is. So don't be afraid of the roaring lion tonight. If it's roaring in your ears, don't do that, don't do that. Don't be afraid. His hand stretched out all the day long. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares for you more than you could ever care for yourself. So here's my question to you. Will you give God digging rights? God, You have permission to search me, to try me, and to lead me. Are you ready for the invitation? It's a very simple one, but it's profound. It's an oratory invitation. If you can do that the best you can in your heart, would you stand to your feet right now? I give God digging rights. 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 I'm going to ask Brother Tim if you would close this time in prayer then. Would you do that, please, brother?
Father in heaven, we thank You for the day and all the blessings of it. Thank You for the gift that Tim could come and speak to us on this subject. I pray that the word of Your book would go home to our hearts. And I do ask, Father, that You would indeed search me and everyone who is requesting You to make this way for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.